Cyclone Fanatic. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast starts now.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Your weekly audio tour inside, outside, and all around the Iowa State University athletic programs. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast is powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. No other realtor comes close to offering the level of service and amenities provided by Mark Charter. Buying or selling a home in your future? Check out markcharter.com. And now, on with the show. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Adam Gray, and Mark Charter.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a Fawcast on a Tuesday. That's Friday after work, but actually, you know, for a lot of people with New Year's Eve being tomorrow, this is like a Friday, I guess. So, welcome. We're, full disclosure, we're recording this at like 11 o'clock. We got a little Jim Harbaugh news conference Michigan going on in the background. We got Hawks, Ohio State basketball coming up at 2, 3 bowl games. Good sports day. What's up, Mark Charter? Mark Charter Real Estate.
Just trying to get over this lousy cold, but hey, figured I'd come in and say hi.
At least the Mark Charter Real Estate Sun Bowl or whichever bowl game we have. But you've put up a lot of money this year for these bowl game title sponsorships.
I have millions of dollars.
Are you getting a return on your investment so far?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Gray, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Adam, not Rob.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Celebrated Christ's birth.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about right there.
Do you guys know that Jesus was actually born in like July?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Something to do with the shepherds and things. They wouldn't be out with their sheep.
Correct. And like all the like illustrations that, you know, have been passed on from time to time, like it's like spring or summertime. So it's either late spring or early summer.
Really?
Yeah, I did a lot of research. This is the type of stuff like when I'm not working, my mind is very, you know me as well as anybody. I'm a very like deep thing. This is the type of stuff. And I'm like, I heard this rumbling that Jesus wasn't really born on December 25th. And I'm like, I need to investigate this. Yep. So I spent like 2 hours of my time investigating the other night. I've come to the conclusion, I think it was July.
You are a deep thinker, but it's never on pressing issues. It's on the stupidest issues typically is what
Jesus, your Savior's birth is
not a stupid issue.
I mean, what?
I mean,
he likes the fluff of life, but honestly, I'm going to get the coughs.
I'm going to have to get the friggin' Lysol out for the headset, Charter.
You are, man. I'm sorry.
My God.
Hey, but honestly, when you think about something that happened thousands of years ago, 2,000 years ago, what are the odds that it literally did happen on December 25th?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem logical.
Did they even have months and stuff back then?
I have no idea. No idea at all. But
wow, this is a weird topic.
I did not see it going this way.
We went from Jim Harbaugh being hired at Michigan to the birth of Jesus. And for those atheists out there, I apologize for digging too deep into it. But
already turned it off.
Yeah, you've already. Yeah. We're not. At this point, it's irrelevant. So we were talking before we got off the air, before we came on the air. And I told the guys, let's start the podcast now because this is actually a good conversation to have. And we're talking about Harbaugh being hired and Jim Harbaugh's run at the Iowa State job back when Gene Chizik was hired. And it's really it's maddening for Iowa State fans, but I think the way that it all played out at the time, it's really hard to criticize Jamie Pollard for hiring Gene Chizik. But Harbaugh interviewed for the Iowa State job. And I was working for Scout.com at the time with Cyclone Nation, and I started getting feelers from some random poster on that site. I mean, this random guy wouldn't tell me is, but he had a connection to Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh was the head coach at San Diego, which is in like Drake's conference. Mm-hmm. So they're not even, it's non-scholarship. Mm-hmm. That's where Harbaugh was at the time. He had come off of like 2 OWIs. It's a weird deal. And I start getting feelers. So basically, this happens a lot in coaching searches. Usually, it's through agents, and they have contacts in the media, and it's how you get guys' names out there. It's why, for instance, Buzz Williams, right? For the last 5 years, Buzz Williams' name has popped up in every damn coaching search in the country, even ones that didn't make any sense. It's his agent knowing Buzz wants out of Marquette. Mm-hmm. He's planting seeds throughout the country.
Or they want more money.
You see it or they're pandering for more money. You see it every year with Greg Marshall. And that one's a little more natural, though, because Marshall's at a mid-major. It would make a lot of sense for him to go to move up. You saw the same thing with Frank Martin. He eventually went home took the South Carolina job. Well, back in the day, listen, I sound old now, but this was a new way to get feelers out there, to reach out to fan site guys like me, to put a name out there. And Harbaugh's guy back in the day was absolutely relentless. And he's feeding me info before Dan McCartney had even been, well, they say he resigned, but let go. Let's call it what he is. He was not welcome back at Iowa State. And it's just crazy to me. So I'm thinking about this Harbaugh deal. I'm watching all these numbers tossed around. Harbaugh, Brian Kelly, Art Briles, all in the running for that job. That's insane to think about. And again, like I was telling you guys earlier,
it's depressing.
It's depressing, but you can't, at the time, I think that if any of us were to sit here and say that we killed Jamie Pollard for hiring Gene Chizik, that would be a lie.
It would be a lie. No one can kill Jamie for hiring Chizik, but I think, I know personally, I was on the Harbaugh bandwagon then. I really wanted him. He was a head coach. He was a big name. I thought he could have recruited at Iowa State. And then you look at what he did at Stanford, what he did for the 49ers, and you kind of wonder what if. Now, I don't think he would have been at Iowa State for more than 2 years.
2 years tops.
Yeah, but it would have been a
fun
2 years. It would have put Iowa State.
Even if Fred Hoiberg were to leave Iowa State this year, program's in a hell of a lot better shape, and you're going to be able to get a better coach because of it.
Amen.
That's the same with Harbaugh in Michigan. Let's say he goes there and wins a Big Ten title and then goes and replaces Bill Belichick. I just threw that out there. They're in a better spot because of that situation.
The thing that jumps to mind to me, though, that I like out of the learning that Harbaugh interviewed is we're a season away from a new football coach, in my opinion. I don't think Rhodes.
You're done, man. You are cashed out on the Rhodes regime.
I'm the voice of the fan, right? And I think there's some fans out there that believe this. But let's assume that I'm correct. Rhodes has one more year, and then Rhodes is gone. Well, everybody talks about, well, we're not going to get anybody better. Who else are we going to get? That's what you hear commonly. So I guess we might as well keep Rhodes. I'm not a big fan of that. But rewind back to McCartney. Okay, McCartney leaves. You're saying the guys that interviewed for the Iowa State job that were willing to take the job.
Now, I don't know if they would have taken it. I know that they...
But they interviewed, okay?
Correct.
But we got Brian Kelly, okay, of Notre Dame.
Yep.
We got Jim Harbaugh of the NFL and now Michigan.
Yep.
We got... who else?
Yeah, Art Briles.
Art Briles. Okay, so those guys, at the time, maybe nobody would have been impressed with that. But look what those guys have gone on to do.
Yeah.
Now, this time around, we might get some more guys like that. It is possible that we get more guys like that. So that gives me hope that maybe we can get the right coach in there.
Harbaugh, I'm watching this thing behind. It's right over your shoulder. It's just being treated like a god.
Yeah.
In Ann Arbor today.
Well, they keep calling him Michigan royalty.
This is awesome. I like Harbaugh.
I actually like Harbaugh, too.
I like him.
He's a jerk.
He kind of made me like the 49ers, too, honestly.
Yeah.
Like he kind of made me cheer for him a little bit. I think he's great. I there's something about him. I don't know what it is. And, you know, let's talk about those three names again. You all know I'm an Art Briles disciple.
Yeah. You love him.
I love Art Briles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he could have won at Ames. You know, he's a Texas guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he could win at any job in Texas. I don't know if he could have won at Ames. I think Brian Kelly could have. I think Brian Kelly's one of those guys where he wins no matter what because of his formula, because it's proven. I remember covering Northwest Missouri State football back in the day before I was in between my times covering Iowa State. And
before you were big time? Yeah, before you were big time.
No.
Just say it. It's okay.
While I was down at KMA Radio, and they were playing Grand Valley State, a Division II team, for a champ, coached by one Brian Kelly. And he, you know, this is a guy I'm saying, tried and true, man. His formula, no matter what, it works at any level.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Central Michigan, if it's Notre Dame, like the guy is a winner. Harbaugh, the Stanford job is sneaky tough because of the academic requirements. I mean, he was comfortable in California. I'm not as confident now if he would have won a Ames. I think he would have. I think he would have done a nice job. I think he's a guy where if Jim Harbaugh walks into your living room and you're a recruit, you're going to listen to him no matter who.
Yeah.
No matter who he's coaching.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like, say, I'm not doing this to roast Pollard because it's easy when you have hindsight. And I remember how many people were treating Gene Chizik like a god when he got that job And we all thought it was a home run. But it's fun to look back on.
It's okay, by the way, to say you're big time.
I'm not.
My father, who's a loyal listener the other day, was trying to explain to my mom who Chris Williams was. So I was listening.
He plays for the Chicago Bears.
I was listening to this explanation, and it came off like you're big time. So.
Well, he's this blogger.
He's this guy. He's like everywhere. Cyclones, you know, he's got the coach's ear. He's, you know, he's the real deal.
Got the coach's ear.
So Hoiberg has him for dinner every week.
Your dad's listening to this?
Well, not right now, since it's not live.
Will he be?
Yeah, he will.
What's your dad's first name?
Jim.
Mr. Charter, thanks for listening, man. We appreciate your support. I hope he's listening even when his son isn't on.
I can't, yeah. I had to teach him what a podcast was.
The Fawcast.
First of all, so.
It's a Fawcast. All right. Moving on from Jim Harbaugh. So tomorrow we are, you know, we're in the midst of, depending on when you're listening to this, the 1 year anniversary of the passing of Johnny Orr. I'm writing, I talked to George Niang about it, talked to Fred Hoiberg about it. You can expect a story on that later on. Before the New Year's Eve game, at CycloneFanatic.com. Hoiberg going for win number 100 on Wednesday against a terrible Mississippi Valley State team. 6 p.m. on Cyclones TV. I will not be there as I continue to boycott the New Year's Eve games in Hilton Coliseum. Are you guys going? Anybody going?
No.
You're not coming to my party.
No, I'm not. I got a better offer.
You want to come over to my house, Mark?
It sounds so tempting since Adam's like, yeah, I got a better offer.
You're welcome to come over and hang out and watch the game.
I'm officially lame. I'm okay with that. 36 years old, obviously working on a cold here. The idea of staying up to midnight is so unappealing to me.
Ever?
Right. Yeah.
Not ever, no. But just this year, I'm just kind of like, I'd rather just be in bed, watch a football game, you know, call it quits early. Get on with the next year.
See, my plan is to... we're going to have the low-key Cyclone party, watch the game.
Yeah.
Probably play some cards, watch some football. And I tell you, about 11 o'clock hits, I'm heading to Founders Pub in Bondurant.
Oh. Founders Pub.
Wow. Yeah, that's where I'm heading.
I thought you'd fill the bathtub and play Bob for Bush at your house.
Nobody's coming to our party. It's going to be like me, and I think the Blooms are coming because they're our only true friends. And
excuse me?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh.
And then, like, it's like my parents are going to come down after the game.
Sounds awesome.
My in-laws. And I got a brother-in-law and a future brother-in-law who are, we're just heading to the pub, boys.
You are a regular at Founders.
Yeah, that's my spot.
Do they have, like...
They don't even pay for advertising either. This is...
What's with the Hilton boycott, by the way? Why don't you like to go to the game?
I refuse to take part in a New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is for football.
Yeah, I agree.
Not bad. Can I say a S-wordy basketball game?
Yeah, he already said you can say shit on the podcast. You can say it.
There you go. We got another one. By the way, trivia question. Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah.
Their most famous alum ever by far is who?
Jerry Rice.
Boom.
Yep. Good job.
There you go.
Good job.
Well done.
Do you remember when Mississippi Valley State almost beat Iowa State a few years ago?
Yeah.
The day after the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yes.
I just remember walking around. It was the 9/11 memorial with Big Mike Fontana. You know Big Mike?
Oh, Toons, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Toonsy. And we're checking the Iowa State. We're like, holy crap, they're actually going to lose to Mississippi Valley. Royce White had the flu and didn't play.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little trivia there.
And then they go and they beat Texas the next
day. That was a tournament team.
Yeah.
Mississippi Valley State was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an NCAA tournament team. So, again, we're kind of looking back and... Looking back at Orr's death, I don't want to dwell too much on that because, again, I'm writing about it. I try not to cross over content too much. But I think that 2014, minus football, was actually a really fun year, I thought, for Iowa State. And I thought we could kind of just look back on it. What are you looking at me like that for?
It was
Adam,
a fun right? start to the year. I don't know, a fun year
yeah,
altogether?
Yeah, it was a fun year.
Huh.
I mean, what?
2-10 is fun to you?
I said minus football. Did you not hear me say minus football?
Well, but I'm sorry. I don't care.
But that's half
football.
The year.
Yeah, I mean.
Really? Because I think it's a basketball school. I'm sorry.
If you have a really great basketball year and a really crappy.
It's a good year.
I'm just going to say it.
No, it was a fun year.
I was going to say, let me rephrase. I said crappy. What I meant was, I'm going to pop my cherry here, a real shitty There you go. My first one.
That was your first one.
Football season. So,
yeah, but the point is, during a crappy football season, everybody could constantly look ahead and go, well, basketball is going to be fun. That kept the hope.
Basketball did keep the hope alive. By far, highlight of the year for Cyclone Sports was the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scenario, how that thing played out by beating Kansas in game two, really, I think people were confident going into Baylor. And you saw a swarm, not a swarm, you saw the entire Cyclone Nation come down I-35 for that championship game. Probably the single coolest experience I've ever witnessed with Iowa State was the Power and Light District before that championship game. Mm-hmm. The Power and Light District is cool. A normal Big 12 tournament. Yes. That was, and some of the photos, we've got them up on our photo gallery at Fanatic, but some of the photos that captured just how many Iowa State fans were there, I mean, it's an unbelievable experience.
People came down, and I was there. I was there for the last, it would have been two games. I didn't go to the first game. I was in Kansas City and then saw them beat Kansas and then Baylor, but people came down to see them win the championship.
Yes.
And wasn't like, let's hope they do it. I mean, there's just a feeling in the air, we're going to get this thing done. And it was 95% Iowa State fans, maybe even more than mm-hmm. that. Baylor doesn't travel at all.
Doesn't matter how good they are.
But that was cool. That was a cool game.
Yeah, and, you know, to the one memory I really have from it is Hoiberg and his kids cutting down the net. You know, the two twins were up on the line, or they helped take
him down.
Yeah.
Off. Yeah,
yeah. It was just a deal where, let's look at tomorrow night. Like, win number 100 really doesn't mean anything. It's just a milestone win over a crappy team. Ultimately, is what it's going to be, but it represents just the resurgence of a once proud basketball program, and now the power that it is. Become, I think it's cool that it happens on the anniversary of Johnny Orr's mm-hmm. death. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. I just think it's a cool little coincidence, and it all culminated really in Kansas City, because that Iowa State was a nice little basketball program before that tournament. Nice little program. You don't want to meet them in the tournament because they're a tough matchup. They get hot, they can beat anybody. But I think that tournament legitimized what they're doing. You know, that was a whole – I think that took another step. Now, what's the next step? It's either Final Four or landing a McDonald's All-American. You know, there's different steps. But that was a big step, I thought, for the program to actually have a championship to bring home.
Yeah, well, the one thing for the first 3 years under Hoiberg was they couldn't get past Kansas. They were really close, three games in a row there, could not get that big win. You go down to Kansas City, you get that win, and I think it just gave the program a much-needed confidence boost. They weren't lacking confidence, but I think it took a team with a lot of confidence and just put it – now they ooze it, and you're seeing it this year. It's just turning over to this year, and hopefully we can go win it
top
again.
Top 10 team.
Yeah.
No.
That's awesome, by the way.
Are you okay, Charter?
No.
I mean, you're like, I'm trying to like cover up your coughs, but I can't keep up with it.
Hey, just the people out there need to know that I'm sick and I'm here anyway. So it's okay.
Dedication.
You're here forecasting regardless.
I like forecasting. So I'm here, you know, you guys can catch something. They can't by listening. So it's all good. I've got that annoying tickle cough. Where you like feel it coming, just tickles a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Did your kid have it?
No.
Usually parents get it from the kids.
I think he had it first. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have it now.
My wife obviously is pregnant, and we ended up going down to Clarinda for Christmas, and we knew my mom was kind of sick. What we didn't know when we walked into my sister's house is that all three of her kids were like running fevers, coughing, like
horrible.
We just walked into a cave full of germs.
Yeah.
Luckily, neither one of us have it.
Knock on wood.
At this point. And now I'm here with you.
That's particle board. That's not real wood, I don't think. So, there you go.
That's drywall.
There's some wood behind that, though.
Oh, damn you
studs.
Guys.
Some studs.
Yeah.
Yeah, behind that.
No, so I wanted to get into this conversation, and I try and award this. I haven't really done it formally for a while. Maybe I should bring it back. We used to do it at Cyclone Nation. Dace and I did it back in the day. Cyclone of the Year. It's not the guy who or girl, because we have given it to women before. It's not the guy or girl who has the most success on the field or the court. It's that that plays part in it. Like I don't think a 2 point per game guy is eligible.
Okay.
But I think a Cyclone of the Year is the figure. And so Jamie Pollard, I gave it 2 1 year. You know, is the one who epitomizes what it means. You know, the people on our board who represents those people the best.
Okay.
Throughout a calendar year. And you can't just give it to Hoiberg every year. That would be easy.
It would be
easy. He's the frickin' mayor.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe we should just call it the Fred Hoiberg Award.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the Mark Charter Real Estate Fred Hoiberg Award.
Beautiful.
I'm going to cover up who I – maybe you already – maybe you already looked at.
I haven't seen it. Nope.
Who would you – so given the criteria that I just laid out, who would you guys give that award to?
I think it's a slam dunk. Easy one. I'd give it to Melvin Ejim.
Okay.
Based on
good.
His four-year career. He's a good student. And he's
big, good.
He's Big 12 Player of the Year. I mean, it's
good.
So I
– He was the Big 12 Player of the Year. People forget about that. It seems like it was a long time ago.
Yes, but he was Big 12 Player of the Year. And I think there's something to be said about seniors getting awards just for almost a career award. When it's close, and maybe you could give it to Niang or maybe you could give it to DeAndre Kane, and it's close enough, you give it to Edge.
I wouldn't give it to Kane.
Huh?
I don't think Kane's in the mix.
No, but you could make a case just based on their season on the court last year.
Yeah, but like we noted, it's more than that.
It is more than
that. And Edgem, you're right. I mean, when you...
He's a good student.
Great student. He always represented Iowa State well. What I loved about Melvin Edgem's career is when he came here, he wasn't very good. I mean, he was a guy who's high motor, undersized.
I thought he sucked.
He's tough. His hands were bricks.
Yeah.
You know, and he was clearly a work in progress.
Yeah.
And he worked his ass off to be the guy that he ended up being.
He is the one guy that Fred Hoiberg should show to all recruits and just basically say, look at where this guy was. You have probably more talent than that kid did coming in here. And look what he was Big 12 Player of the Year. And that's what's so promising for Fred going forward is he still doesn't have elite talent. I know I've said this to you guys many times. If he gets legit NBA talent, it will be unbelievable what he can do with those guys. Because look at what he's doing with Niang and Edgem. He's making those really good players great college basketball players.
He talked yesterday about Deonte Burton. I'm going to write about this today, too. Just about, you know, he has, like, what I like about Fred is he has a vision with every guy who comes in there. He's talking about Burton. He goes, well, nice player. He's got to get a better outside shot. And that's what we're going to work on. We're going to obsess over his outside shot from now until whenever he is eligible at Iowa State. I think Fred has a very keen eye for guys like that. How are you going to thrive in Hoiball? He can pick that out and edge him to a T. I mean, basically what you're seeing right now, like with Dustin Hogue, is Melvin Edgem light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really. I mean, they're not running plays for Dustin Hogue.
Nope.
At this point in time. And Hogue is not Melvin Edgem. I don't believe that, but I think he's close. I think he can fill that role for this year's team. He's going to have to expand it a little bit than what we've seen so far. But the system is there. Edgem really benefited from that. What do you think, Mark? So that's your answer. Final
Melvin
answer.
Edgem, final.
Melvin Edgem. All right.
Mine's obvious. Kamari Cotton-Moya.
Yeah. So.
They had the Big 12 freshman defensive player of the year. Player of the year.
No, thanks for prepping me on this, that we're going to be doing this. So, you know, I had a lot of time to think about
it. No, this is what I wanted. So, I wanted it to be a spur of the moment off the top of your head.
I'll tell you who comes to mind. And it's hard to go anywhere other than basketball. But my pick I would choose because, my opinion, great attitude. And last year in basketball really propelled himself as a guy that you can count on to hit some really big shots.
Oh, I know where you're going here.
Naz Long.
You said big shots. I knew where you were going.
Naz Long. I just like him. He's a great player. He's got a great attitude.
Did you read Rob
Fans
Gray's
love him.
Piece
no,
on
no.
Naz?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you
got to
read that.
With about his family.
Yeah.
I saw it alluded to.
You need to go and touch
on it. I'll definitely read that, but that would be my choice.
So the guy I originally had, Gray, you changed my mind, by the way. I completely agree about Melvin Edgem.
Thank you.
That's who I would go with. And I didn't have Melvin written. I have George Niang written down as a strong candidate. And that's more of a – Niang just epitomizes to me what fans want from an Iowa State player. Because I think Melvin's deal was – he was pretty brash, and he was inside the program. Like, if you watched Melvin at practice, he was kind of an asshole. Like, he, but that was good. When Melvin Edgem got to campus, we've covered it. He wasn't that skilled of a basketball player, but I've heard stories of Melvin Edgem stepping on campus and getting pissed off during summer workouts and chucking basketballs at teammates because they're slacking off, like seniors.
Yeah,
he's doing this too because they're dicking around. And
Anthony Booker.
No, but Booker wasn't there.
Oh,
I mean Melvin was. Those guys hadn't. Melvin was already on campus before the transfer started to.
No,
to
they roll came in the same year, but they sat out. But never mind.
But whatever.
Yeah, sorry.
This is I'm talking guys who have been in the program for a while now. So then you have a guy like George Niang, who does that, who polices the guys in practice. But Niang has this charismatic way of portraying his love for Iowa State for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only is he's solid on the court, he's a great guy off the court, like Edgem as mm-hmm. well. But he has the ability to portray that in a more likable way.
Yeah.
Which makes him so popular. and you cannot help but love George Niang. George Niang is the guy who Hawk fans hate. You know? Kansas fans hate George Niang.
And we love that about him.
And that's why Iowa State fans love him so much. So I think that he would probably be vote number two for me, just from the, because I much like when Jamie Pollard first took over Iowa State, like I loved the fact that he put a freaking billboard up in Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was because it was him throwing a stake in the ground saying, listen, this is a game now. Like, you know what I mean? That's all it was. It was a shot. It was him saying this, we're going to start to change this culture here. It's a hard thing to do. And what I like about Niang is he backs it up, but then he still will talk the talk. You know what I mean? And if he'll take it too. And it's not just Iowa. I'm not making this an Iowa thing. Niang's the type of guy who doesn't matter what team he's on. If he's going into Allen Fieldhouse, it doesn't matter how many point underdogs you are. And George Niang thinks he's going to win, damn it.
He's not going to back down.
Yeah, he's going to be pissed off when he doesn't. This is a guy who's a true freshman, got teed up in Allen Fieldhouse because he was too jacked up. Like, that's what I love about George Niang.
I'm surprised that you didn't. It sounds like Edgem wins out over Niang. It sounds like Gray changed your mind, though. But you can't forget about the body transformation, guys.
You can't. No, it's
he looked like a circus peanut. Last year, you know, those big fluffy orange candies.
Those are disgusting.
And now he's a sculpture. He's a work of art.
Yeah.
So you could tell him completely serious.
he actually made a Niang has this funny thing he does during interviews where you ask him a question, doesn't matter what it's about, and he'll answer it with a joke, laugh at himself, and they go, no, but really. And yesterday it was Hines from the Tribune asked something about pace of play. Hines was getting ready to do one of his like Ken Pom type articles, I think, which are great, by the way.
They are. I love them.
Yeah. Adam doesn't like Ken Pom. It's an ongoing joke between all of us. I think they're fascinating, but George goes, yeah, and I can't even keep up, man. And he was referencing the weight loss and how he needs to lose more.
Oh, really?
Which I thought it was just George being George.
The changing subject slightly. Because, again, you're the guru who knows everything.
Or pretends he does.
Edgem and Naz, here's a legitimate recruiting question. Both from Canada. Do we have a pipeline into Canada, or is that just kind of a freak deal that we got two really good players from there?
So, Edgem was an – those are both TJ Otzelberger guys.
And we recruited Edgem. He was at Brewster Prep Correct. School in New Hampshire. When we
that used to be a pipeline.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, Otzelberger, if you watch what he's doing at Washington, he just signed a guy from Brewster.
Yeah.
So that's a TJ Otzelberger deal. The Naz Long deal was weird. He, as Rob wrote about in this piece, the way they discovered him, Hoiberg and Otzelberger were watching George Niang in an AAU tournament. Naz was playing against him.
Mm.
Naz didn't have hardly any offers. They fell in love with him. They thought, and I remember this very distinctly when he committed. I mean, it sounded like Naz was like a sixth, seventh man type guy who is going to get good grades, great clubhouse guy, good leader, solid. I don't think they thought that he would be what he is as soon as he was.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Naz is a lot like Edgem in the sense it's kind of the same story where it's just hard work, man.
Mm-hmm.
Talent wise, like he is what he is, but he's worked his ass off to become that guy.
And he's got that irrational confidence that you need to be
Yeah, it's almost stupid confidence. Niang has it too.
Yeah, 0 for 5 on threes, I'm going to shoot it anyway. Yeah. I'm going to keep shucking.
I wish Matt Thomas had that.
If Matt Thomas had it, yeah.
You can't, it's hard to, I think you're born with a certain amount of confidence, but when you're a three-point shooter like Naz primarily is, he shoots threes, you know, that's something you can work on a lot. If you shoot 1,000 threes a day, you're going to start to get pretty confident that he can make some threes.
I think what's made Naz so much better, though, is he's added other elements to his game. You know, he can actually put the ball on the ground now.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the NCAA tournament last year, he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really worked hard. To directly answer your question on the pipeline, I think anymore, like it used to be, you know, like, this is just an example, but Iowa State would like the Brewster Academy thing.
Yeah.
They were going to that well a lot.
Yep.
I think recruiting is just so much more national than it used to be regional.
Yeah.
Football, it's still very regional. But basketball, I mean, I don't think there's a pipeline that Iowa State has lost out on to Canada since, you know, I mentioned both of those guys were Otzelberger guys, but that doesn't mean a damn. I mean, they can absolutely still recruit.
These AAU tournaments anymore, too. You can go to an AAU tournament and you can see 300 players play over a weekend. And basketball is so much different. Football, too, is you really, bring in 2, 3, 4 kids a class where football is 15 to 20.
Look at Sal Boris.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have a pipeline to Greece.
It's just a tip.
They got tipped off.
Yeah.
They watched some film. They said, hey, we're going to roll the dice and hopefully we can get other European. They want more European. I mean, I did a podcast with Matt Abdelmassi months ago. We talked about that. I mean, they would like to tap into that market, and that's another thing you got to love about Hoiberg. He's innovative.
It seems like too for a perennial top 10, which we just got into the top 10. I realize that, but if nothing else, national championships and Final Fours aside, if we get to the place where a recruit is literally deciding between going to Kentucky or Iowa State, then that's an awesome place to be.
Yeah.
And those are the McDonald's All-Americans. I mean, those are the guys that you really, really want.
Yep.
If you can get them.
Two players in a row, 2 years in a row, have chosen to pay their own way to Iowa State for a semester. That's got to say something.
I'd love to be in the conversation with the latest guy we just got from Marquette.
Deontay Burton.
Obviously was talking to McKay, I assume.
Yes.
What is that conversation like? You know, what is it like? I heard, he liked it because they're family and all of that stuff. Is McKay saying, you got to come check this place out? I mean, it's awesome. The fans are awesome, et cetera.
What's crazy about that situation is that both of those guys, Iowa State finished second in their recruitments to Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both ended up at Iowa State.
Which you immediately think, why? I mean, why would, other than like they're close, they're from a place that's closer to Marquette, which I understand. But other than that, why is Marquette more appealing as a basketball school, at least now?
Both of them are from Milwaukee, so I think that had a lot to do with it. I think if those guys are from Ottumwa or from Minneapolis or whatever, maybe it's not. I think that had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then McKay was only on campus for like 4 days. He only practiced like 4 times at Marquette and hated it, I think. And he bolted. And then there was a coaching change for Burton. That probably had a lot to do with it.
And then Burton's mom or dad passed away?
Burton's mother passed away.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of scenario. And let's face it, kids just transfer a lot now.
They do.
And Iowa State's going to get hit by that too. We're already seeing it. Sean Dorsey Walker. And that's fine. Like I wrote shortly after. Good for him. Good for Sherron Dorsey Walker. Get out of here. He's not going to play.
As long as it's
go play somewhere. Yeah, he can go play somewhere and be good.
It's kind of like if they're not going to play, do you even care that they transferred out? I don't.
I think just on a level of.
I mean, next year if Naz decides to transfer and Monte decides to transfer, then we're in trouble. But nobody sees that happening.
You actually benefit from it.
You'd benefit from Monte transferring?
No, I'm talking like a Dorsey Walker.
Yeah.
Because the scholarship frees up. And good for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That wasn't a negative, in my opinion.
No. My point is, though, like, you're just going to start seeing more of it.
Yeah.
As we have, clearly, over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That it's free agency in college basketball is what it's become.
The rules are dumb, though. If a player wants to transfer and change his life, he should be able to do it and play. I hate the NCAA rules. They don't make any sense at all.
The NCAA. Coaches
are free to leave and coach again right away should they want to, and players are left, you know, holding the sack.
We live in interesting times. There's going to be a lot of change.
I hope that does change, though, at some point.
I think that the way transfers work in general will change at some point. I don't know if it's going to be to the degree of what you're saying, but it's going to the graduate transfer thing, I have a feeling, is coming down the pike at some point.
To stop? You think they'll stop doing that?
I don't know how they're going to. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I think that there'll be some sort of a...
That'd be too bad if they penalized a kid for graduating in 4 years.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to... I don't know how they're going to do it.
So, I have a question that you'd be able to answer as far as the graduate transfer, because I don't think a lot of people know this, including myself. When that happens, so they've graduated, they've earned their degree somewhere else, and they transfer in, and they don't have to sit, they can play right away. Do they have to be enrolled in any classes at all?
Yeah, I think that, you do.
Something.
Correct.
Like a 4-credit class.
You have to be, I think, a full-time student. I don't think you can just go and take one class.
So it'd have to be some type of graduate program.
Something like that you're in.
Okay.
I think, not again, and there's probably people out listening who are more familiar with the academic portion of it than I am, but I don't think you can just come and take bowling.
Because I envision these players just, just sitting around in their apartment all day, eating Fruit Loops, hanging out, playing video games, and now I got to go to practice, which is awesome. Good for them. But that's like the mental picture I get when I hear about these people that have already graduated. Like, I don't think they're studying too hard at that point.
No.
Don't they take, like, basket weaving?
I took my final semester at Iowa State. I had bowling and golf in the same semester.
And you still suck at golf? Even though you took it first semester?
I took racquetball at Iowa State.
Racquetball's fun.
That was a cool class.
That's a great sport.
Mm-hmm. That is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I smoked you at racquetball. Remember that last year?
Gray's so good at everything.
God, I agree.
Everything. Seriously, name anything. Gray's the best at it.
I agree.
Knitting? You're great at knitting?
Oh, yeah.
Give me a couple weeks. I'd be pretty good at it.
All right.
Before we go, I don't want to go too long today because Charter's about to die over here.
Plus, we got to watch the Hawkeyes play.
The Big 12, way to play into the stereotype. The Big 12 just was awful last night or yesterday in bowl games. I thought A&M would beat West Virginia, even though West Virginia was a favorite. I thought that Texas would lose, as Adam and I hashed out numerous times. I thought it would be ugly. That was one of the, I think, my confidence points. That was number one or two for me, for the confidence in games. And then, but I was not expecting that Oklahoma game. Like, that was unbelievable to me how horrible they looked. So, again, I mean, the Big 12 underachieved yesterday, maybe not by much, but that Oklahoma game is embarrassing.
Nobody saw that one coming. And I agree with you on the A&M game. I had them winning. And then, Bob Stoops, go figure. But
so unpredictable, because we all thought they'd get throttled last year against Alabama.
And they beat Alabama. Looked great. I don't know. Trevor Knight, he's just too into Katy Perry, I think. Just wasn't focusing on football after all that. She told him to call her on that college game day.
They went 4-5 after that. Yeah.
Katy Perry, the curse of Bob Stoops.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But who's the Big 12 have left? Baylor against Michigan State, which is going to be a good game.
Yeah.
Especially with, the intricacies of not having your offensive coordinator.
TCU plays Ole Miss. So there's some good games. But the
Kansas
Big 12,
State, UCLA would be a good one.
All of those are close spread-wise. So I think
the Big 12 could have a rough year.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they could. I think... I hate watching, from a betting perspective, since we talk about betting so much on the show. There's nothing worse as a gambler than having a game over practically immediately.
Yeah.
So within the first quarter, you've got the favorite, and not only is the favorite losing, but they're losing by so much that a cover is almost impossible at that point. You're like, well, crap, now the rest of the three quarters have already been ruined.
Might as well just do something around the
house. So my advice to people listening is just don't bet on football games.
Well, bowl games are especially. I mean, they're so unpredictable.
They are.
You have no idea. And we've seen it even at an Iowa State level where it's like, you know, that Liberty Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like they didn't even show up to play. Yeah. I don't know. That's what makes, you know, betting the pros in a way easier, I would say, because you know those guys are professionals. It's their job. It's what they're doing.
Paid. Yeah.
You have no idea what that 18-year-old or what that 20-year-old did the night before.
Yeah.
A game, you know?
Yeah.
I guess you could say that with the pros, too, but I think
that's
it's
no different,
more
though, than what Johnny Manziel's doing the night before a game.
This is true.
Absolutely. So have you guys changed your opinion on the national championship game since last we spoke?
You know what?
Who's going to be in it?
Well, I'll stick with the Noles. I'll stick with Florida State, win it all.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very surprising.
Hey, you know what? I've been all in on them. Now, chances are, like, I fully realize that the chances of them going back-to-back are rare. You know, that doesn't happen.
You also realize they're a 9-point dog.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. And they'll be even more than that when they play Alabama next, probably.
So that would be Bama. I've still got Oregon versus Bama, Oregon to win.
I got Oregon, Bama, and I'm switching. I'm going Bama. I think that cornerback being out, who's going to guard Amari Cooper now? I see a big day for him.
It's interesting that the spread in that game, the Oregon game, even after that injury, didn't really change.
No, it didn't.
So, I don't know. Vegas doesn't care. Who knows? But I'm excited because they'll be good games. That's the takeaway.
I'm really just hoping Florida State wins just to watch the reaction.
You're such a troll.
Hey, it's fine.
You just love Jimbo Fisher.
I actually don't.
I can tell. You're such a
I don't like
fan.
Him at all. But
Florida State is your second favorite team.
I want to kick my feet up. No, Baylor is.
Oh,
not even close.
You're switched. I'm sorry.
I want to kick my feet up and just watch. That has more to do with it than anything. The thing is, I don't really care. I just, to me, I don't know. Oregon, let's put them up against the big boy. I feel like Florida State, nothing has changed to make me change my opinion on Florida State, where the trend that they have is when it really matters, they start playing well. And they clearly, going into the Rose Bowl, the playoff, these guys know that it really matters. I think they show up and beat them.
It's hard to argue against their winning streak.
Yes. That's all they do.
26 in a row.
That's all they do is win.
They don't play anybody.
Neither did Clemson.
They played Clemson.
They did.
Clemson doesn't play anybody.
Clemson's a monster.
Clemson should have beat them in that game.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
I agree with the "but they didn't" point. No one seems to beat them, so.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams think they should have beaten them, but nobody did.
I could be way wrong.
Louisville thinks they should have beaten them. Notre Dame thinks they should have beaten them. Nobody did. They won 26 in a row. Is that what they're at?
I think so. Next week, by the way, I should mention this for people listening. Next week, or whenever we do this next, I will release our first word of the week.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Related to the Final Four giveaway, should Iowa State make it. So, as a refresher, in case people don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
What the hell are you talking about?
So, every week, I'll give a word of the week. When you hear it, write it down. If Iowa State makes the Final Four, I'm going to give away tickets to someone listening to this. But in order to win, you'll need to know every word of the week from next week through the Final Four. So, sounds like a lot, but hey, if you want Final Four tickets for free, buck up, you know?
So, I like this.
I'm excited.
Yeah. For the Final Four, to not win tickets from me, or which part?
No, I think I still got a chance. I'm going to have my brother or somebody enter, because it's two tickets, right?
Two tickets.
So if JR wins, he's obviously taking me via you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is this legal? I mean, we feel like we need to put some parameters on this. Gray's got like 20 brothers and sisters. He could just...
See, I'm not technically an employee of the company or anything, so I think it's all...
No, are you okay with it? Are you okay with getting like mass from the Gray family?
Sure.
They run like a pack of wolves.
Sure. Sure. Because I think ultimately I'll still be able to decide who wins this thing one way or another. So I won't cherry pick. We'll make it fair, but I could probably just exclude anyone with the last name Gray, or, you know, whatever.
That's like half the state, man.
So the entire city of Johnston. You're out.
I'm excited to give away some Final Four tickets. Hopefully we'll make it happen in 2015.
I'm excited to watch that Ole Miss TCU game tomorrow.
That'll be good.
Pumped about that. I'm pumped about that.
Is TCU going to win?
I have Ole Miss.
I got Ole Miss as
well.
I went
Ole Miss from the get-go.
You guys aren't bitter over that broken leg that screwed you earlier this year?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit bitter.
Yeah.
That was a tough beat.
Treadwell.
That was real tough. What else? What other games are tomorrow? Arizona, Boise State?
Yeah. It'll be a good game, but I really have no emotional care to watch that. Yeah.
I'm surprised I'll watch it. 3-point spread. I still think Arizona wins that game handily.
I do too.
It's in Arizona. Boise State's not the Boise State they've been the last few years either. So, I don't know. Could be wrong.
I'm way more interested in the nightcap Mississippi State, Georgia Tech than I am Boise, Arizona.
Mississippi State by about a touchdown in that one, I think.
I've come around with you guys on that one. I think when we did our bowl preview, I picked the push.
Oh, did you?
I picked the push in that one. I'll go back. Mississippi State by 8.
There you go. Oh. Dax.
Yeah.
Big fan of Dax.
Then New Year's Day, you know, Michigan State Baylor to me is the game. Other than the playoff games.
Okay.
Do you think Baylor's
I'm actually more interested in Michigan State Baylor than I am. The Florida State angle is interesting to me.
Yeah, the Florida State Oregon game I'm looking forward to more than the Alabama Ohio State game.
Me too.
I agree with that. Yeah. What is your take on it? Because I'm curious. You are a huge Baylor fan, as we already know, but Baylor, Michigan State tomorrow. I'm seeing a lot of people picking Michigan State to win that game.
No, I like Baylor.
Do you like them because you love them?
I like them because I watched the Michigan State Oregon game.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar.
With only 3 months in between. I mean, that's the wild card.
The wild card here, yeah, is you're exactly right. They've seen the same. But I just think that based off of how that whole deal went down with Briles at the end, and I just
– Michigan State should not have the offense to keep up. Should not in capital
Even if
letters.
Their D does play well, like Baylor, I think, will still get theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. Big if Briles has them fired up to say, let's go show them why they should have included us.
Yes.
And that has to be a beatdown.
And that's why I like Baylor to win this game and I don't like TCU. I think Briles does that coaching job. I'm not sure Gary Patterson does at TCU.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Patterson, to me, like, I'd be furious if I was a TCU fan the way he handled that.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, it's kind of like when a dude hits on your girlfriend.
I don't have one
back
of those.
Back in the day, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you just – it's kind of like what Briles or what Patterson did was just letting that dude, like, grope his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And saying, go ahead and take her. Like, Patterson showed no fire at all after that snub. I don't like that.
You just called Patterson a cuckold is what you did.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
There he is, man.
I prefer the Art Briles route of – fighting for your team.
But after it's over, you can't do anything about it. Doesn't it? Some people perceive it as whiny. Patterson doesn't want to be whiny.
Do you think Art Briles came off as whiny?
No, but I understand. I won't kill Patterson for not saying something after the fact.
Show a little emotion.
That's
all I'm asking.
How do you know he's not doing it to his players?
I don't fine with his players, but show your fans. Show your...
They're emotional enough for him.
Get fiery.
He doesn't need to add fuel to that fire.
They don't have fans, which is part of the problem.
By the way, my emotional love affair with Mr. Tom Brady went up again.
Oh, yeah?
By the way, we like to talk about Tom on this show.
And we like to talk about man crush.
He deferred salary to make them a better team, freed up a bunch of cap space. I love that guy, man. He cares more about winning than the money.
I've read something since then. It's not how it sounds, I think. I think he actually is getting more money, but they just restructured the way he did it.
As long as he's willing to work with them, man. It was like he freed up like $24 million.
For next year,
for them to do something.
It's hard not to like Brady. It's hard not to like Manning. I'm even coming around on Rodgers. He's a little whiny for me sometimes, but I like
Rodgers. You like to accuse people of being whiny.
Yeah, well... You think it's passionate. I think it's whiny.
You'd whine too if Ndamukong Suh stepped on your ankles. That guy's a punk.
He is a punk. I still say if Suh stepped on Teddy Bridgewater's ankle, he's not suspended. That's just my take. You guys can disagree with me. That's fine. I get it. But I think who he stepped on was bigger than what he actually did.
Suh's problem is his past. It has nothing to do with what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, his past absolutely.
If Jared Allen did that, then he wouldn't have gotten suspended.
No, I agree.
Well, yeah, it's like a strike thing, though. That was like his third strike. So yeah,
I guess 20th.
He's been a dick for long enough.
The guy's clearly, he's just a D-bag in real life. I mean, and it carries over onto the field.
That Bo Pelini coached him for a year in college?
No, he's just a weirdo.
All right, let's wrap her up, boys. Mark, we're looking forward to the word of the week next week. We'll be back on our normal schedule, I believe.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, and we are at Benchwarmers next week. We'll be back going with the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, week from Thursday.
The world will be back to normal.
Yeah, that sucks. I like the month during the holidays because you get off your routine a little bit. Everybody's a little more relaxed. Then January hits and everything's stressful again.
I'm kind of ready to get back to work though. To be honest with you, I don't like not literally waking up and not knowing what day of the week it is. And when you get around Christmas and, yeah, you know, it's just, especially in real estate, that time of year is really slow. It just feels weird. Like, I was asking my wife the other day what day of the week it was. I had no concept of it, partially because I don't have a job to technically go back to. So it's not like I have to be back on Monday. That's weird. I'm ready to be productive and healthy again. Looking forward to 2015.
Cheers, boys.
Yeah.
Mark, enjoy your early bedtime.
Get some Lysol over here.
We're going to have to freaking spray this.
for this headset.
That headset is just, we may just throw it out.
I'm proud, though. I made it through with only about 9 coughs, I think. So I was expecting worse. So I dragged myself out of bed just for this and the listeners of this podcast.
The talk cast.
Yeah, that's where I was going to. Yeah. Tuesday after work cast. Gray, enjoy not coming to my party.
I will, buddy.
Apparently, nobody's going to this party.
No. It
says a lot about the party.
The Blooms are our only friends.
You should just give out your address for people listening.
I don't remember the Blooms throwing you a baby shower for your for your baby. I don't remember them doing that.
Hey, that was very nice.
Yeah,
you got to thank you. Am I indebted to you the rest of my life?
So 1 week later, I don't come to your New Year's party, and you're whining. You're whining like Art Briles is what you're doing.
Hey, if I sound like Art Briles, then I'd say this day is a success.
Well, hopefully your coaches that you love do better in bowl games than your coaches in basketball did in the NCAA tournament this past year.
It was a rough year for my guys.
Yeah, it was. It was a really rough
year. It was a rough year for my guys. But they've all recovered and done pretty well so far.
Oh, yeah. Tim Miles doing great at Nebraska so far this year.
Hey, I told that. Pardon my French, but I told that son of a bitch to get out while I could. That's you can't win there consistently. You can't win there in Nebraska.
He's an okay coach. He overhyped him.
Exactly, and he should have gotten the hell out of there when he could.
Yeah.
Take the better off. Get out of there. It's a cesspool for basketball. You can't win with Creighton being 10 minutes down the road.
If he would have left, he would have been Keno Davis at Drake, though. He would have gone somewhere else.
Who cares? Cash your checks. Keno. Who gives a crap about winning? Get paid, man, and then retire.
That's a little lame.
Some people want to be winners. They want to rather than getting the check.
It's a little lame.
I'd take the check.
Some people aren't all about the money.
Yeah. I'd take the check.
No, it's a little lame to say I'm going to build my resume and make it look really good, and then have someone pay me a lot of money, and then suck and not care.
Well, you're not going to try and suck, but if it happens,
yeah,
at least you're
like, yeah, whatever.
At least you're locked in, and you're going to be a millionaire the rest of your life.
I'm still waiting for the coach that will get a huge contract, suck, and then return some of the money. That's what I'm waiting for.
Not going to happen.
Somewhere out there, there's a dude with some integrity that's going to say, I did not earn this money.
I feel like someone did that like 15 years ago. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. It's got to happen, man. It's got to happen. It's like, because to a certain extent, you'd feel like you're robbing people.
Yeah.
You would. I don't know. Obviously, Chris does not share this emotion.
Hey, I just...
It's like, I'm cashing those checks. I'm sleeping well, baby.
Don't come at me with the 10 miles, because I said last year when they made the tournament, I go, he needs to get the hell out of there because he can't win consistently there. Even though I do love 10 miles. You can't win consistently at Nebraska. It's not going to happen.
Danny Knee. Where did he end up? He was their... that's Danny, just the name I remember.
Eric Pajkowski. Tyrone.
He was their best player, by the way.
Yeah. Pajkowski was legit.
Where did Danny Knee go? Did he go pro or something?
I have no idea.
The fact that we just brought up Danny Knee means I need to end this podcast.
That's a good point.
I just thought that was the area for another discussion. We go full on Danny Knee.
Well, now that we left him hanging, let me Google Danny Knee real quick.
See where he's at.
What's Cookie Belcher doing these days?
What a great name.
Cookie
Belcher. I eat too many cookies and it makes me burp.
Danny Nee, head men's basketball. Most recently, the head men's basketball coach at United States Merchant Marine Academy.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
Let's see. So when he left Nebraska, he went to Robert Morris.
Okay. At least I've heard of them.
He was at Robert Morris for a year, went 7-22.
That's not good.
I believe he probably got fired after that. Then he was the coach at Duquesne.
Yeah.
The Dukes for 5 years. His final year at Duquesne, he went 3-24.
That's not good either.
No. And now he's at the United States Merchant Marines, and that's in the Landmark Conference. So there you go. You wanted to know. That's Division III.
My best Danny Nee story, by the way. I just love it. That stuff starts that way. True story. So this was quite a while ago. He was coaching Nebraska, and Iowa State and Nebraska were playing, and for some reason they were showing the game at Hilton on the big screen. This would have been many, many years ago. I don't know if it was a tournament game or what, but people were at Hilton watching the basketball game on the big screen. What the game wasn't at Hilton.
Okay.
Don't remember why. It's not important. But anyway, they flashed Danny Nee on the screen, and Danny was picking his nose. And someone in the crowd, like, you could just hear very well that day, is like, "Nice pick, Danny!" Like, everybody else at Hilton starts laughing from it. So that's my one and only Danny Nee story. And, yeah, I don't remember why I was at Hilton watching that game.
So in this podcast, we've covered Jesus being born in July and Danny Nee.
That's why people listen, man.
That's a quality podcast.
They don't know what they're going to get.
No, you don't know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
All right, boys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
See ya.
To y'all out there listening, Happy New Year. We'll be back on more of a regular podcast schedule coming up next week. Radio next week. Game coverage tomorrow. Rob will be there. Jared's got the women's basketball game tonight, too. They've got the Cyclone Challenge that they're wrapping up, so stay tuned for that. So long, everybody.